Good evening, everyone. As we begin, we'll start with "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." My hope is built on nothing less. We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse. This evening, we'll sing "Bind Us Together."
Would you bow with me and pray? Father, we come before you tonight thanking you for the wonderful day we've had, thanking you for allowing us to come together with you today, study your word, learn more about you. Lord, in a time like today with all the uncertainties, the anxieties, the worry, the fear, let us always know that we can look to you for answers. Let us know we can come to you for prayer and that you can show us the way. Help ease our minds, ease our tensions, and help us be more Christ-like and do more things to your will. Forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen.
Our song before the lesson is "I'll Fly Away." If you would, let's stand as we sing. It's convenient for you.
Some bad morning when the sun is low. This evening's scripture reading is found in Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. Matthew 25, 35 through 40, and this is the ESV version. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me.
Good evening. Welcome to the Sunday services at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. We're glad to see you here this evening. And for those of you that may be online that are watching or listening, we're glad that you've tuned in. Tonight we're going to talk about prison ministry. What are some of the thoughts that go through your mind when you hear the word prison followed by ministry? I imagine that if we were to get a poll, there'd be all sorts of things from what is prison and ministry doing in the same phrase? I thought prisons was just for criminals. And that's right. Prison in itself is just for criminals. But there's a lot more to it. The word prison is found 131 times in the Bible. 50 in the Old Testament, and the remaining 81 in the New Testament. The book of Acts contains almost a third of the references to prison in the New Testament. The book of Acts is also the history of the church. So I think we find a lot in common there. So let's just think about prison ministry. How long has it been around? Well, what was just read to us, Jesus was speaking, and he said, when I was in prison, and you came to me. And then when the righteous asked, we didn't see you, what did he say? And I paraphrase it now. As you did this to the least of them, you did this to me. So prison ministry, as a command, has been around for quite a while. How long has Central Church of Christ been in prison ministry? Well, arguably, since the congregation was founded in the 1930s or whenever it was. Now, wait a minute. Does that include going into a prison? Well, let's go ahead and explore just what is meant by prison ministry. Prison ministry is just one of Central's outreach ministries. On the fifth Sunday this year, the four fifth Sundays, the elders have said, we want to address outreach. In January, Harrison Morgan gave us a talk on World Bible School. Very helpful. So this tonight, we're touching on prison ministry as one of the outreaches. You can see the list up there. It's significant. And when you look at that list, you say, wait a minute, looks like there's something in common. And there is. Notice they have in common is service, 1 Peter 4:10. And if you get your Bibles and like to follow along, I'll give you a little bit more lead the next time. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift. Now they're talking to us. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Every one of that on that list of Central's outreach ministries does just that. And then the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Prison wasn't excluded, right? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we're providing the service. We're following the Great Commission that Jesus laid out for us. And our function is to plant water. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, and the Apostle Paul is talking, and he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Our job in any one of those outreaches is to plant and to water. And as we mature, as our knowledge increases, our understanding increases, our ability to apply increases, we do a little better job planting and a little better job watering. So, some view prison ministry as being soft on criminals. And maybe from a perspective that they really hadn't thought about it, you can understand where they're coming from. But prison ministry has zero to do with specific offenses. We deal with men both beyond and behind the bars that may have had just a couple, 3 years, to some that have life without parole. Doesn't mean they won't get out someday, but 95 to 97% in the United States of those in prison will be released. Prison is really a location where Satan says, I'm going to hide these lost souls because people aren't going to worry about them. And besides, prison ministry is soft on criminals. Why would you want to help? And that, you know, that makes a bit of a point. But we find out that the church is already involved with prison ministry. Now, wait a minute. How did that happen? Well, the church has always been in the crime prevention business. It starts in the nursery. It starts with cradle roll, and it just continues all the way up. Let's just see how some of that may work. That's pretty young, isn't it? Notice all the adults there, the ladies that are particularly taking care of these folks in the nursery. There was a philosopher about 2,500 years ago named Plato. And here's what he said. The most important part of education is training in the nursery. And we see some biblical support for that, which we'll discuss here in just a minute. Notice, again, you have to have a teacher in there. And that's the nursery. It continues on to a little bit older. What does Proverbs 26 say? 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The church has always been in prison ministry as prevention. And boy, that is a great thing. The more we can prevent, the less there is that we have to correct. There you can see the smiling faces. Eager to learn. Sometimes we have a little difficulty getting enough folks to teach, not just the nursery, but the other levels, as we'll see. I think Coach John Wooden, he's known as being a basketball coach that won 10 NCAA basketball championships in a 12-year period, he was a teacher first. Here's a quote from him. Don't let you think what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. Give it a try. See what will happen. By the way, he won 7 in a row. Beat my team 4 times during that time. Then we move along and we get up to the college ministry. Oops, I went too far. Here we go. Then when we move past the 5th and 6th grade, we're into the tier. T teen years, right? Notice what that was. Seeking our awesome Redeemer, youth rally, teenage, peer pressure, difficult time. We really need to make sure that we've got folks that are helping there. College ministry, the transition moving on to the life that they're about to be more independent. And we hope that we've got them firmly rooted from the cradle role to the toddlers to the first, second, third grade, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, teen years. But it doesn't stop. Ladies' Day out there. In fact, we have Ladies' Day coming up April 2nd. I think that was announced this morning, and let's keep that in mind. Men's Fellowship. And we take a look at all of this and we say, then that must mean the Central is really in the prison ministry with prevention. And they are. But as you have heard through the last couple of Sundays, we still need another teacher for the children. So let's see if we can't come up with that. Prevention and correction. Two different issues, right? Ben Franklin, one of our founding fathers, said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So let me ask you, would you rather spend an hour in prevention or 16 hours on correction? Would you rather spend a dollar on prevention or $16 on correction? That's something that we want to keep in mind. Because what happens with that increased time, increased money, increased effort, increased pain, and more ruined relationships, that's unfortunately one of the negative consequences of correction. We have two types of correction. One is beyond the bars, outside of prison, and the other is behind the bars. The beyond the bars is an association where we're working with the DRC, Day Reporting Center, and the Community Resource Center, that's only about 2 miles from this building. There's folks that go in there on Mondays, Bible classes with men and women, and on the fourth Monday of the month, they have a luncheon for them. Well, how can that be prison ministry and it's beyond the bars? These are folks, men and women, that are on probation or parole, and they've been mandated, not incarcerated, but mandated to take various courses to assist them in whatever it may be. It could be get the GED. It could be a substance abuse problem. We need to take some classes. It could be anger management. The litany goes on. Now let's see about going behind the bars. What's that all about? Well, that's just what it says. Now we're behind the bars. What we've got here at Central is a significant number of programs. And those programs have to do, as you can see the litany there, but what are they all circling around? They're all circling around the Bible. That is the foundation of everything that we do, the Bible. The New Life Behavior classes and seminars is something that was started in 2009, not the seminars, but the classes, down in Carter County. The Carter County Annex was closed in June of this past year, so now our ministry is on the compound at Mountain City or in the Annex, a total of about 1,700 men. And it becomes important. All of these become important. Worship services have been around since 2014. The ministerial visits. During this time when we haven't been able to go in, not during COVID, but because of staff shortages, we've been fortunate in that the chaplain and the associate warden of treatment have permitted us to go in and make ministerial visits with the men. There's limitations. They say, look, just keep it to two or three men. Meet up here on our hallway where the chaplain is and the counselors. Don't let it run over 2 or 3 hours, and don't do it too often. Well, we're very thankful for this, because we're looking till the end of March or mid-April, probably mid-April, before there's going to be sufficient staffing that we can resume our worship services, our programs behind the bars. But COVID taught us something else. If you can't be physically present, how can we improve our relationship? Well, Tim had started a program called Brother Check, and would send every 2 weeks, would send out a letter to everyone that we'd baptized. So that kept, and also that helped them as a young Christian, support, encouragement. And then we started something new when COVID hit. It was called Increasing Contact. It was modeled after the 11th step in the CASA program, Christians Against Substance Abuse, increasing your contact with God, developing a stronger relationship, improving your knowledge, increasing your courage. And we've done that. We suspended it when we were able to go back into prisons last May, but then we had to quit again in this past October because of staff shortages. We resumed increasing contact. From March of 2020 until May of 2021, when we went back in for those few months, but up until the last issue, between increasing contact and Brother Check, over 22,000 pages have gone to the men at Northeast Correctional. And they're thankful for it. We get letters from them. We've had 19 different authors that have authored these lessons. And then the chaplain came up with an idea, and he said, I, the chaplain, now have a couple of channels on the in-house prison television. Wow. Why don't you guys give me some of your worship services, and I'll put them on there, and for about a week, or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days, whatever we've got, we'll run them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Tim's signature now, autograph up there, has gone up to where it's worth 2 soups. That's a bag of prison talk for a bag of ramen. But think about what that's done for those folks, especially the ones that we already had relationships with, of which there's several hundred men up there that we have. So the Central's worship services in the AM, Tim puts them on a flash drive, 5 at a time. They go up to the chaplain. The chaplain puts them on the channel, and the men watch them. One of the men wrote a letter to Tim saying he enjoyed it so much, he's laying on his bunk, and the singing, your singing, was so soothing. Think about it. Not sitting on a couch like we do, or a chair where we're watching something on television. They're laying on their bunk because the cell for two men is 10 feet long and 6 feet wide. There's not a lot of room. Soothing is not a word you hear very often associated with prison. So the thing is, we've been able to stay and increase in the arena regardless of what has happened, and that the glory all goes to God. Here's the thing that's true about whether it's prevention or correction. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that has to be building rapport with a new class is one of the single most important things we try to do. We want to get that done. We'd like to get it done in 2 or 3 classes. Typically, it's 4 or 5. Now we have an advantage where we have a synergy team, which we'll address in a few minutes. But we find that when there's members in there that know new life behavior, that trust the volunteers, the rapport building with new, brand new folks increases significantly. That's the issue that we're doing. Why really do we have prison ministry? Well, in John chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." There's opportunity there, significant opportunity. The devil wants to make that a playground. He wants to hide those lost souls. And we said, I don't think so. We know how to get in there. We know how to take God's word, whether we can do it face to face, whether we can do it on TV, or we can do it through the mail. You're going to be able to learn it. There's about 1.8 million people in U.S. prisons right now. In the state of Tennessee, there's just under 20,000 in prison. There's a little more than that in county and city jails. In just the prisons, if any of you out there are taxpayers, we spend about $550 million for the operational cost, not the capital cost. And like I mentioned, 95 to 97% will be released. Now, I really appreciate Josh having a song about hope. New Life Behavior is a ministry of hope. And it uses as its tagline 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what you're going to see some photos of, is some new creatures. Now, as far as photos are concerned, we're not permitted to take a photo unless we have a media release from everyone that's in that room. Otherwise, we can't take it. And we're only allowed to take photographs, really, in what's called the VG, the Visitor's Gallery. This was a seminar. Seminars in the Visitor's Gallery will usually have 60 to 70 men. We have different topics. It could be recovery, it could be boundaries, it could be conflict. But the key thing about it is prisoners have time to listen, and they're apt to listen. That's the advantage that we have. Matthew 25, 36, a portion of which was read for us, right? I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, we're going to be looking at Genesis 1:27 in just a minute. Notice that group of men. There's some tall ones. There's some short ones. There's some heavier ones. And they certainly aren't all the same color, are they? So what does it mean God created man in his own image? Well, we know that that's spiritual. It's not physical. We know that we receive the attributes from God. Spirituality for spiritual life. Intellect for intellectual capabilities. And moral for moral sensitivity. Those are the images that we have and that we're expected to do. And we used, as the Synergy team got together, and Tim and I and a couple others, Chig was up there, our mission statement became changing a way of thinking to change a way of living. It starts in the mind. You can't affect the action until you affect the behavior. You're not going to affect the behavior until you've affected positively the thought process. We frequently use for the prisoners because they have a hard time forgiving themselves. They think nobody could forgive me. Then they realize God will forgive you. And we use examples like David out of the Old Testament that broke multiple commandments, and a few hundred pages later in the Bible, how does God refer to him? A man after my own heart. So that aspect of God created man in his own image is very, very important. We also talk about in the New Testament Saul becoming Paul and what that change of repentance and change of life was all about. There's one other one we use. It comes out of a book. It's a true story of Clyde Thompson, the meanest man in Texas. Make a long story short, Clyde killed two brothers when he was 17, killed a couple more in prison. One of them was ultimately ruled self-defense. But you can see there, when he died at 68, he's on the other side of the bars. He's a chaplain at the Lubbock County Jail, married with an adopted daughter. Now, how did that happen? Well, Clyde was transformed. It was a transformation right out of Romans 12, 2. And this is something that could only be done with God's power. And that's that particular book. We've used it for a seminar up there. Now, I'd mentioned a couple times Synergy Team. Let's spend a few minutes on that. When we got into the compound from Carter County, and we started with the classroom, in Carter County, we had a hard time as quite a few volunteers in here right now. That program room, you put 20 people in there and you need a shoehorn. That's what we had at Carter County. So our average class really ended up being 15, 17. But we were able to get 35 or 36 into the classrooms up on the compound. And we always like to have our classes to be interactive, not lecture. And so we started developing teacher's aides. And we noticed some of these teacher's aides had some additional capabilities, and many of them had hidden abilities. So we moved from having teacher's aides after they'd gotten some experience and taken our three courses that we offer up there on the compound. Said, what if we had a synergy team? There's a lot of ways to define synergy, but the one I like sticks with numbers, and I like numbers. 1 + 1 = 3. That's synergy. So we started this synergy team, and then we realized it was going so well, we asked for another time slot. So now in a program building where we just had one classroom, we now have the other classroom. So now we're dealing with 60 to 70 students. We had 6 tables that we're allowed to have in each room. So we'd like to have a teacher's aide, synergy team member, at each table. That's the picture that you see there underneath. Now, along with coming up with a mission statement, we developed some guiding principles. And these were driven by the synergy team members. Not Chig, not Tim, not me, not any other volunteer. We asked questions, we would lead things. But this is the number one, the top of that slide, is the number one guiding principle that they have. Teaching cognitive biblical principles applied to everyday life in difficult circumstances. When you have that group of men that develop that guiding principle, and they're at a table teaching 4 or 5 other men in a class, you are changing a way of thinking to change a way of living. Tim came up with the biblical support for that. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first part of verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. Now there's another reason that we wanted to have a synergy team. Notice that 168 hours up there? That's how many hours there are in a week. Those men are there 168 hours a week. If we've got a worship service on a Sunday, we meet with our synergy team for about an hour and 15 minutes on a Thursday, we have a 2-hour class on Thursday, and we leave, we've put in 5 hours a week. We're only there 3% of the time. What held New Life Behavior together from March of 2020 until May of 2021? That synergy team. They were in five of the eight different units. Each unit has 128 men. They make such a difference in the strategies, in our tactics, and in the physical presence. Very strong individuals. Now, the man in the upper left-hand corner, just so you don't, you wonder why aren't they all standing there, the man in the left-hand corner was new after that picture was taken. The man in the upper right-hand corner had to work the day that we took that picture. The two men in the lower right-hand corner have just been selected by the Synergy team with a little input from Tim, a little input from myself, Chig, the chaplain. So we refer to them as assistant table leaders. So they can come and start learning, because you cannot get to the Synergy team without having spent time as a teacher's aide, but that's not a guarantee that you'll get there. So these two men, and we have the picture that you're looking at up there, the ones that are standing, two and possibly three of those will be released in the next 2 years. So these young men, if they're not transferred, they're going to be part of our Synergy team. But there's also correction that goes on. One of the things that happens is we get phone calls from churches or maybe a family member, and they're sharing about, hey, we have a member or we have a family member that's going to be in prison up in Northeast Correctional Complex in Mountain City. Or this one was Carter County. I got a call from a man. This young man that you see there created an offense but got probation. But he violated his probation. So he was going to have to spend a year in prison. So the fellow from the congregation called. It turned out to be a mentor for him. Called and said, is there anything you can do? He said, yeah. And he knew he was coming to Carter County. He said, yeah, we've got... Tell him to just come on down to the program room, Fridays from 5 to 7, and we'll get him in the class. And we were able to. This is before we had worship services at Carter County, but the sergeant was nice enough to let us, after class ended at 7 o'clock, this gentleman, young man and I would sit and talk about God for about an hour, and that was it. I called his mentor last night, and I said, hey, we'll call him Sam. How's Sam doing? He's doing great. He's remained faithful. He's moved out a little bit more into the country, but he's stayed faithful. He's gainfully employed, and he's continuing to go around and preach the problem of going to prison. That's what we get to see. Another thing we get to see is a man that went through Northeast, Michael Barnes, went through our classes, took the seminars, was in all the worship services, was a teacher's aide, was released, went to TPOM, the four-month program, graduated. He was married yesterday, gainfully employed. The man that's presenting him on the right-hand side, presenting him that picture, is the spiritual leader director of Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry. His name's David. He spent 25 years in prison for murder, a crime of passion. In 25 years, never got a single write-up, not a single disciplinary action. And he's been just fantastic to us. So who may I see in prison? Those are the chaplain's clerks. They are instrumental in what we do. We've been working with them since late 2011, early 2012. The man on the left is a member of the Church of Christ when he was incarcerated. They both have a passion for Christ, and they both have a passion for new life behavior. That's a TRICOR manager in the middle. That's the industry that's up there. We work with him significantly on making sure that we have folks ready to go, to be released, and also then what can we do for reentry? He's extremely helpful. The man on our left, behind him, is no longer in prison. He was released after 26 and a half years. gainfully employed, went through TPOM, got married just very recently, just doing well, very well. The man on the right, lower right, he is a Synergy team member. We work closely with the chaplain, very close. He became the chaplain in 2009 after 12 years as a correction officer, so he's been very helpful. Now, that counselor has left, but we work very closely with, they now have a reentry counselor, and that becomes very important. Now, you volunteers, men and women, remember now we're in the visitors gallery, we're in the VG, and we're celebrating a graduation. This may or may not have been the CASA. CASA is one of the classes that we have. But you can see what you can do with your physical presence. You're encouraging to them. This is a group of, the lady in the middle, front row, is Sherry. She works with the DRC. She heads that up. We work with her frequently, and she comes up to speak at our graduations. The man on the far right, in the back, is the preacher at Mountain City Church of Christ. I think you may recognize the others. Attitudes and Behaviors, another class. You can see that that's a huge room. The capacity, I think, is over 300. So we have a lot of room so we can spread out. And we always, during a celebration, get approval to have a meal. There's another example. You can see by the windows being dark, these usually go from late afternoon into the early evening. But that opportunity for these men to visit with somebody from the outside is significant. And our Synergy team members, they divide it up. Half of them are responsible for logistics at a given function. The other half's responsible for being at a table to visit with the volunteers. At the next graduation, they switch. It works very, very good. So you can see how this would work. That's the Bible that we use, Journey to Recovery Through Christ. It's got the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and history of addiction and biblical basis for it. We hated to see this man retire. He retired February 2nd, 2022. He wanted all twos. We tried to get him to stay on to all threes, but he wouldn't go for it. His position is still open. Now, the warden is not asking us for any advice on who should be the next chief counselor, but if he did, we have two ideas for him that we would like it to be. Here's something else you might see. These are your brothers in Christ. Now, not all of them are in there right now. The vast majority of them, we baptized. We baptized 47 men up there. Some of them were members before they came to prison. But those folks, quite a few of them, have sat around those tables and visited with some of the volunteers that are in here this evening. Some comments from the men. And I think that's important. We get that feedback. Of those 8 men up there, 4 were baptized in prison. 4 were members when they were incarcerated. But at the end of the day, they're all created in God's image. And they are all our brother in Christ. So, am I really equipped for prison ministry? Well, what do I have to do? Do you have a genuine love for lost souls? Just basic knowledge of the truth that sets you free? Then you're ready. And every one of us in here, we read this earlier, 1 Peter 4:10, we've each got that gift. We have the responsibility to serve as good stewards. And I think one of the things that really helps us is when we look ahead, and sometimes folks don't look ahead as much as they should. I certainly didn't. I was asked twice to go and join prison ministry from an elder there in Conroe Church of Christ in Texas. And I said, you don't seem to understand the reason. Where are we right now, John? We're standing here at a classroom where a Bible class is supposed to start. I'm here because I don't know enough to teach. He says, well, we can help you with that. No, no. And then one day we go in there, my wife and I, Glenn and I go in, and John says, here, take this. And I said, what is it? He says, that's an application to become a volunteer for the Texas prison, Texas Criminal Justice Department. I took it just to keep him from talking, went home, put it down. My dear wife, which I don't know, she has this honing instinct. What's this? Well, it's a training session for volunteers in Nacogdoches in springtime in East Texas. She's thinking, maybe some flea markets, the roses will be out. Well, let's just go up there. I went up there. Here I am now. We don't need to finish the story. The benefit to you as a volunteer, I think these two particular quotes sum it up very, very well. But it's not just the benefit to you, because a benefit to a member of the Central Church of Christ is a benefit to the church and a benefit to the community. And that's what we need to keep in mind. So how can I really serve? President Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, said it very well. Do what you can with what you have where you are. That's all we can do. We can grow. And we have folks that can help grow. Right now we have, I think, 20 men volunteers, and I think there's 10 or 11 female volunteers. And your presence at a graduation party, two of those men were Synergy team members. One of them's been transferred, unfortunately. But all three of those, very significant. This man right here is a member of the Church of Christ. When he caught a charge, his mother, long-term, and his father, members of the church. He has been just stellar as an ambassador for Christ and an ambassador for new life behavior. You're present, you listen, you communicate. Adam knows it. He's been dealing with little folks. He's been dealing with folks that are always dressed in blue. That was his kitchen crew at one of the graduation parties. The one on the right was a Synergy team member who now he wasn't a legal citizen when he caught the charge. So he's back in Mexico, and we heard from another one of our friends that stayed in touch with him. Got a barber shop, was able to get a small ranch. So what's next? Here's the deal. I'd like you to give some very serious consideration to how you can help. If it's anything if it's prevention, talk with Adam or Christy. If it's older than that, talk with one of the ministers of either the teens or the college. If it's correction beyond the bars, talk with Steve or Debbie. If it's for the Pen Pal program, talk with Dennis or Linda. If it's correction, and I needed a lot of correction, I'll tell you that, speak with Glenda or I. We'll be happy to help you. But in a nutshell, let us be mindful of when the Lord said, I'm paraphrasing, in Isaiah, who am I going to send? What did Isaiah say? Here I am, Lord, send me. We plant and water, we saw that, and we do not grow weary of doing good. The only way to be at peace with the devil is to be at war. Peace with God is to be at war with the devil. So we ask for your prayers and your participation so that these men, that's one of the other classes, can be at peace with God. And that's really prison ministry. One last thing that's not up there. And Randy said I could go to 7:30, but I don't think that's a good idea. There is an elephant in the room, and nobody raised their hand and said, is it safe to go into prison? You've been reading about stabbings that go on up there, right? Drug overdoses, and those things happen. With a volunteer, I've just been doing it since 07, but I've never felt any concern wherever I was. I've always felt comfortable, but never complacent. Buck Griffith, who's been doing this out of Texas for just over 50 years now, I asked him, and he said, no, we've never had a problem. We've never had a volunteer that he knows of, and he handles, he's the president of New Life Behavior. A little over 4,000 volunteers right now, multiple states, never had one. But I think the person that summed it up best for me was, he has left the Northeast. He was a volunteer coordinator. And we talked about being safe. They said, look, there's a hierarchy if there's going to be a problem in a prison. Who's the most susceptible? Inmate on inmate. Who's the next most susceptible? Inmate on uniformed staff. Who's the next? And you're dropping way down. That's an inmate on non-uniformed staff. And who's at the bottom of the list? A volunteer. Why? Because you're coming in there and you're helping so many that none of the others are going to get into trouble like you're causing any problems. It doesn't mean that we walk around being non-complacent. You don't ever do that. But I know, I can promise you, it never felt unsafe. But there's another prison. It's called the prison of sin. And if one is not a child of God, the plan is laid out very simply in the Bible. You hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, and you're baptized into Christ. And we can help you with that. If you happen to be in that situation, we'd love to. If you're a member of the church and there's been an issue or you're falling away and you'd like the prayers of the church, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you as we stand and sing. Not let the world be our and towards I went to bind the sigh. Oh, sinners, thoughts and eyes are, be safe, soul tonight.
Not tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh then be wise, be saved, oh tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why?
Please be seated.
This still being the first day of the week, if you're unable to partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll prepare our minds as we sing the following hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. We'll sing the first, the second, and the third verse.
If you'd like to partake of the Lord's Supper, if you'll join me in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, for that perfect Lamb that came to give his body and his blood for us. We thank you for that love. We thank you for that sacrifice. And we thank you now for this memorial that represents the broken body. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's pray for the cup. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine that represents that precious blood that was shed for us. We ask you now to be with us, to help us to turn our minds back to that scene, that sacrifice, and that love. In Jesus' name, amen. On the first day of the week, we have an opportunity to give back. And so before we do that, let's pray again, please. Holy Father, we know that every blessing we have, every good gift that we enjoy comes down from you. You have blessed us so very richly, and we ask that you take what we give now for your service, for your honor, and for your glory. May these funds be used in the best way for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray together now. Our God in heaven, thank you for blessing us today, for giving us so much. And we ask that you'll help us, guide us each day, and help us to see opportunities before us like the prison ministry. Ask that you'll guide us and help us as you see we need you. It's through Christ's name we pray. Amen.